This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
Why do communists all push for censorship? We'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about Dr. Fauci. Oh, the worm has turned on Dr. Fauci, but why so late? And finally, what we're going to talk about? My favorite subject in the world. You'll find out on I'm Right. Why do communists love censorship? It's universal. Every single society that's ever tried, communism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, they're all emphatic about censorship. But why? Well, let me explain my position first on censorship. I don't believe in any of it. And I mean none of it. People talk about free speech and freedom this, freedom that. I believe in radical amounts of free speech. I believe that's what the founders wanted. I believe you have a better nation when it comes to that. And when I say radical, I mean I want ISIS to have a Twitter account. KKK, Black Panthers. Pick your detestable group, detestable person. I want to know what they're thinking. Louis Farrakhan's a famous one. He always gets on there. He has obviously a laundry list of terrible things he's said in the past. And you'll get most people, even on the right, wow, he shouldn't be allowed to say that. Why? I want to know what they're thinking. I want to know what they're thinking. And there's something else. There's another reason why I'm totally okay with every detestable person or group getting a Twitter account of some kind, a social media account, having a public voice. Another big reason why is all my ideas are the right ones. I'm not worried about losing an ideological battle against ISIS. Are you? I would hope not. So why do you want them censored? I want to know exactly what they're thinking. I want to know who follows them. I want to know who's out there promoting their disgusting ideas. And if you're constantly removing them from the public square, then I don't get to know that. I want to know what my enemy's thinking. If somebody was coming to your house to kill you, don't worry, no one's coming to your house to kill you, I hope. Would you want to know or would you not want to know? Of course you'd want to know. You'd want to know who they are. You'd want to know when they're coming. You'd want to know the method they plan to do it so you can do something about it. But back to communists. They all believe in censorship, all of them, because they know their ideas are disgusting. That's what they know. Don't be fooled. Of course you have some naive people on the left, graduated from college after doing 18 years in government schools, and yes, now they're just unthinking drone robots who can't, they don't know the truth. But for the most part, the people in high positions of power in the system, the commies running the American system today, they know exactly why they want censorship. Because they believe you being informed keeps them from gaining more power and more money. They know how it ends up. They know how it ends up. And I think I need to explain something before I get to this story today. Before I get to these congressmen pushing censorship from all these major big tech things, you need to understand something. I've explained this before. I'm going to explain it again to you. When I talk about communism here, it's cultural Marxism. Remember, you can't sell breadlines in America. All communism is find somebody who thinks they're oppressed. They may or may not be. Find someone who thinks they're oppressed. Promise them you will hurt their oppressor and make life more equal for them. That's all it is. It's not more complicated than that. And the Soviet Union, people were in breadlines. It was not difficult to go to people and say, look at that czar over there. Look at those rich guys. You're starving to death? Support me. I'll hurt them and I'll get you some bread. Now, of course, in the Soviet Union, it worked out the same way it always works out. Yeah, they went and hurt the guys. The guy in the bread line supported the communists to go hurt those guys, but in the end, they were all marched off to the gulags together. You see the same thing here in the United States of America, and this part fascinates me because people can't see it. Here, our cultural Marxists, because they had to change the language here, it's all about gender. It's a sexist, and it was sexist. It's all about race. Oh, you've been oppressed. Well, we definitely need reparations. You've been oppressed. It's all about sexual orientations, things like that, always selling to these groups. And these groups then, they're like, okay, I'll march forward. I'll go forward. I'll defeat them. You said you were going to hurt the people I don't like, right? Oh, you will? Good. Well, none of these people are going to have a seat at the table either. They're all going to be marched off. But you know who will? The big tech guys, the big politicians. They're going to be the ones in control of all this. After using each and every group as much as humanly possible, when they're all used up, they get chucked in the trash. That's how it works. And so many of the people who are the foot soldiers of it, not the big tech oligarchs, but the foot soldiers of it, they don't see it. They don't know it. They think, it's for civil rights. No, buddy, you're being used. You're being used bad. I saw this, and I'll tell you, this should concern you. Social media, things that happen online, that is the public square today. That is how the United States of America, that's how the world connects. That's how they get the news. That's how they share their news. And you know, what's that old saying? Follow the money. Always follow the money. You must follow the money if you want to find out the truth about things. Well, guess who bankrolled Joe Biden's campaign? And when I say bankrolled, I mean more than the banks, more than the lawyers, bankrolled his campaign. Oh, well, maybe you'll find this interesting. Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and Google, those and others in the big tech industry combined $15.1 million to Biden's campaign. That exceeds the banking industry. Exceeds the banking industry. You realize that, right? That's more than the banks. That's real. That's who supports him. And the information you and I consume on social media, you're going to have to wrap your mind around this. And I know it's hard. I know you still have your Facebook account. I'm not judging you. I don't judge people. I know you still have your Twitter account. I do too. I'm not judging you. You have to understand, though, you're being manipulated with everything you see. You're not seeing a live feed of random people. Oh, Bob just put up this post. Oh, he put up this. But you're not seeing that. What you're seeing is completely manipulated. I always tell you none of what you see is real because none of what you see is real. You know, Facebook leading up to the election, they changed their algorithm. So you, when you logged in, you would see pro-Biden things, anti-Trump things. The social media oligarchs are in almost complete control now of the information you see. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I don't get it all from Facebook. Jesse, I deleted my Facebook page a year ago. Okay. Well, you know, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, they all do the same thing too. There's hardly a place you can go. I mean, by the grace of God, we have the first. But there's hardly a place you can go where you're going to see information that isn't completely manipulated for the left in order to crush you and promote them. That's how this works now. And it's not as if people are out there on the left at all, in the Democratic Party at all. It's not as if anyone's out there saying, wow, I don't like this. This is verbatim what the communists have always done. This makes me uncomfortable. No, they're full steam ahead. They're pushing forward. And why wouldn't they be? They have everybody working for the same team. We have one party control over our entire system. We now have two Democrats from California. I'm not making this up. Two Democrats from California, Anna Eshoo and Jerry McKerney, of course, California, they wrote a letter to cable companies telling them to drop right-wing news outlets. They don't even want you to have the option of seeing anything that isn't manipulated and controlled by the left. I'm not making this up. Quote, right-wing media outlets like Newsmax, One America News Network, and Fox News all aired misinformation about the November 2020 elections. These same networks also have been key vectors of spreading misinformation related to the pandemic. Are you planning to continue carrying Fox News, OANN, and Newsmax on your platform both now and beyond the renewal date? If so, why? And remember something. Donald Trump did an interview with Newsmax. Anything bad. He just did an interview with Newsmax. Go ahead and look for it on YouTube. You won't see it there anymore. And I mean, some people are picking up on this, but is it too little too late? We have the FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr saying, quote, by writing letters to the cable providers and other regulated entities that carry these news media outlets, the Democrats are sending a message that is clear as it is troubling. These regulated entities will pay a price if the targeted newsrooms do not conform to Democrats' preferred political narratives. This is a chilling transgression of free speech rights that every media outlet in this country enjoys. Do they enjoy it? Do they enjoy it? No, they don't. Because what's happened is we let them have the culture. And so now you and I are worried about certain things, right? We're worried about the new coronavirus relief bill, the new gun control bills, and we should be. But this is what happens when you give them the culture. They now have the system. They don't have to pass new laws. There doesn't have to be some bill that goes through Congress and then the Senate and then the president signs it. They took over corporate America because they first took over the education system. Now, like I said, yesterday's college radical with his communist Che t-shirt on, he's your Fortune 500 CEO now. They're all over the place. I read a list this morning on my radio show, the Jesse Kelly Show, of 200 companies, big ones, ones you would know, ones you use, who are out for your firearms. They're going to do the same thing with censorship. They're coming for it. And they don't need laws to pass it. They're simply going to do what Facebook and Twitter and all the other big tech guys have already done. Just kind of decide, well, I mean, we'll ban him and, ooh, that video, that violates guidelines. Oh, don't worry about the guidelines. Psh, that video is gone. Ooh, that, no, that's misinformation. Pay attention. Pay attention to anybody out there who wants views censored. I want them all public because I'm always right. They want them censored because they know if anybody's given any other option but to accept what they want, they're going to lose. That's why communists censor. It's why they always have. It's why they always will. It's why they're going to keep doing it here until somebody steps up in this country and is bold enough to actually do something about it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. And here's something else that's going to make you uncomfortable. Cybercrime is a really big deal now. And I'll be honest with you. this has been hard for me to accept because I didn't grow up really in the internet era. That's not where the major crimes take place now. They take place online. These thieves, cybercrime's up 75%. They're going to come for your home title. They will. It's inevitable. This home title theft is not something law enforcement has a handle on. They hack into your home title. They grab it. They forge your signature on it. They take a loan out against it, and you have to pay that loan back. That's a fact. Don't get burned. Go get Home Title Lock now. I have it. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 free days of protection. And we'll be back. It's your job to hold the line. It's my job to hold the line. You've heard me yell about the narrative 1,000 times out there, of the narrative on the Mueller report. You remember everybody in the DC GOP. I guess we should have an investigation. Mueller's a public servant. 2 years later, whoa! I can't believe this. And who can forget coronavirus, right? Coronavirus comes out, starts to emerge. There's all these horror stories. We got a scary video from Italy. What's the DC GOP do? Well, I mean, we really need to listen to Dr. Fauci. He is a career. He has a doctor. He has a white lab coat. Look how trustworthy this career civil servant can be. I'm so sick of that garbage. And now you see it everywhere. It's everywhere you look. Every politician and pundit on the right is all, man, I'll tell you what, this Dr. Fauci guy doesn't seem like he's on the up and up. Well, gee, thanks for being a year late to the party now that we're all already screwed. I mean, look at Dr. Fauci. Just run with it.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
So if you have a physical covering with one layer, you put another layer on, it just makes common sense that it likely would be more effective. And that's the reason why you see people either double masking or doing a version of an N95.
Highest paid government employee last year. Highest paid. Well, who could forget his rock solid stance on the vaccine, though?
I doubt seriously that any vaccine will ever be 100% protected. The best we've ever done is measles, which is 97 to 98% effective.
I feel extreme confidence in the safety and the efficacy of this vaccine, and I want to encourage everyone who has the opportunity to get vaccinated so that we could have a veil of protection over this country that would end this pandemic.
And who can forget, what was that word? Gosh, what was that word? Herd immunity. I remember saying things like herd immunity early on. We have to go live our lives early on. We can't wreck the mental health and the economy of a nation early on. And I remember getting called all kinds of names, told I was some kind of wingnut about herd immunity. But let's not forget Dr. Fauci's rock solid stance on it.
You kind of have the herd protection as an umbrella. We're not there yet. That's not a fundamental strategy that we're using. The fundamental strategy that we clearly articulate and go by through the task force is to try to prevent as many infections as you possibly can prevent.
You would need somewhere between 70, 75, maybe 80% of the population vaccinated, between 75 and 80, 85% of the population. If we get that, we would develop a umbrella of immunity that would be able to protect even the vulnerables who have not been vaccinated.
Oh, wow, that's weird. And look, he's always had the same stance, though, on Trump's handling of the pandemic, right?
The coordinated response has been, there are a number of adjectives to redescribe it. Impressive, I think, is one of them.
I take no pleasure at all in being in a situation of contradicting the president, so it was really something that you didn't feel that you could actually say something and there wouldn't be any repercussions about it. The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it, let the science speak, it is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
Oh, I'm glad you're liberated. I'm sorry that his burden's been so heavy to bear. He is, after all, the highest paid employee in the federal government. The dude makes more than the president of the United States. But setting all that aside, you know what? Let's set Dr. Fauci aside. Let's assume he's just a well-meaning idiot. That's fine. I'm here to talk to the right. You have been late to arriving at the right point on an issue time and time and time and time again. You were late on Mueller. You're late on Fauci and coronavirus. You're late on the St. George Floyd riots. You were late on the insurrection at the Capitol. Late, 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 late. And there is a real human cost for you being late. Because if you don't hold the line, the communists sure aren't going to hold back. Every single time they push a false narrative out there, everybody on the right, well, okay, I guess that's probably true. I mean, after all, everyone's saying it. And then a year later when we're all screwed, you know, woo, they really threw one by me there. I can't believe it. But anyway, I'll try to do better next time. There is a cost to that. Look at what has happened to this nation. Look at what has happened to this nation with coronavirus lockdowns, with the drug abuse, child abuse, spousal abuse. We're not even talking about the economy. Businesses wiped out, never coming back. The far-reaching consequences of this will not be known for decades. Decades of the damage we've done. And that damage was done because our side consistently lacks the spine or the brains to have the right stance on an issue when it's uncomfortable to have it. We have to start willing to be unpopular when the narrative is being formed. If we don't do that, we are done as a country. Sorry to be so hard on them, but it's a fact. All right, I was all fired up. All right, I want better people. I want better people in charge. I hope you want better people in charge. I am a lifetime member of Mammoth Nation for a reason. They push the candidates you and I want into office, people who actually have a spine. But as you know, I'm not a charitable or good person in any way. I get something out of this. By being a member of Mammoth Nation, I get discounts. I get discounts on travel, shopping, hotels, telehealth. I get discounts on wireless. I get discounts on all the stuff I go buy. So my money goes to supporting candidates running for office we want, and I in turn save cash. That is a win-win scenario. Go join me. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Remember when I told you something weird is going on with Cuomo? The wolves are coming for this guy, and you never see Democrats turn on one of their own like this. And de Blasio and Cuomo have famously hated each other forever, but these public comments? Ooh, this is going to another level.
No, I have not spoken to him. No, I do not accept his explanation. There needs to be a full investigation. Thousands of lives were lost. Families deserve answers. We need to get the whole truth here. We need to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again.
Yikes. Calling for a full investigation. Joining me now to talk about that and other things of the Independent Women's Forum, Dr. Nan Hayworth. Nan, I need you to break this down for me because very little confuses me. As you know, I'm very highly intelligent, Nan. Hello. But I cannot figure out for the life of me who Cuomo ticked off to have this many Democrats coming after him. How? Why?
Well, I think really, honestly, a lot of it boils down to one person, and that's Janice Dean, who has been absolutely dogged. Her in-laws died in nursing homes, both of COVID, terribly sad. And it was last spring. And Janice Dean has been absolutely relentless. And she has a platform, Jesse, so that makes a big difference. As we all know, she's on Fox News. She's a meteorologist. I've met Janice Dean. She is a delightful, compassionate, lovely person. So that helps too. She doesn't have a political axe to grind, but she has spoken. She has been the voice for these thousands of families who need answers and who deserve answers. And a personal friend of mine who's a political star, Kevin Byrne, an assemblyman in the minority, Republican minority in the New York State Assembly, has been a great partner to Janice. So together they have finally managed to break through, Jesse. And I think, you know, a big part of it also is that, look, with that many deaths, it's very hard to keep it concealed forever. Governor Cuomo is an autocrat. He and Mayor de Blasio have a long-standing antagonism. There's no question about it. So, you know, there's scorpions on both sides. But Assemblyman Ron Kim, obviously, on the Democrat side, has become involved. At this point, he too is demanding answers. He has actually partnered with Assemblyman Byrne. And clearly, Ron Kim seems genuinely to have been able to expose some of the wrath and bile to which one can be subject if Governor Cuomo spots an adversary.
Nan, I need you to walk me through something. This is going to be difficult because you're a kind person, unlike me. What could the reason possibly be to have a policy of putting a coronavirus patient into a nursing home with the most vulnerable people? I do believe most communists don't care about the loss of life. I'm not going to sit here and act like Andrew Cuomo cares. However, that is so intentionally dumb and obviously going to result in deaths. There has to be an explanation for it that I'm not seeing. What am I missing?
You know, Jesse, very objectively, because, you know, I live in New York, obviously. I have a lot of relationships with the healthcare community in New York. I'm a physician myself. I did my part of my residency at Elmhurst Hospital, which was one of the most overwhelmed at the very beginning of the pandemic. And I think really what happened is that there was a genuine concern that the hospitals were going to be so overwhelmed that they would have to triage within the hospitals as to life or death. And I think honestly what happened, and I don't know from the inside, so I am not saying that at all, but I surmise that they made a decision, and it was in essence a triage life or death decision that they made, that they would send patients back to these nursing homes. You couldn't have failed to know that the preparation was not adequate. You couldn't have read the CDC directives, Jesse, and failed to know that the CDC was saying, yes, patients can return to nursing homes if the nursing homes are capable of caring for them. Our nursing homes in the state of New York aren't even caring for their ill residents during the best of times. So I think that was the genesis of this decision, and they figured, you know, Governor Cuomo is so very powerful in this state, and he does have very close relationships with those with money. It's a very difficult situation for our citizens. So the hospitals have a very close relationship with Governor Cuomo. The nursing home folks do in various ways as well. But I think this was what happened. And the terrible thing is that even though the USNS Comfort was sent to New York, President Trump got it there early, Javits Center, and all to the tunes of millions of taxpayer dollars were prepared, Jesse, to accept overflow. And they eventually, within not too long, were capable of saying, we'll take COVID patients. Those desperate requests were ignored. Why? That makes no sense at all.
Nan, explain how much danger do you think he's really in? I understand the wolves are circling and they're talking about impeaching, an investigation, but I'm old enough not to trust New York politics or Illinois politics, and I know how wired in that Cuomo family is up there. You think he actually burns for this?
I'm not convinced of that, Jesse. I'll tell you why. Governor Cuomo is regarded, not without reason, as the adult in the room in Albany. The Democrat supermajorities in the state legislature contain among them so many people who are far to the left that Republicans, powerful Republicans like Ken Langone, and I am not saying Mr. Langone has endorsed this approach to the COVID pandemic. I very much doubt that he does. But prominent Republicans like Ken Langone sent lots and lots of money to Governor Cuomo's campaigns. And Mr. Langone has talked about it openly. Why? Because in the state of New York, realistically, Governor Cuomo actually is, believe it or not, the fiscal conservative. He is the grown-up in Albany. So he has got, and he has got a lot of very powerful relationships. He's got his hands on a lot of purse strings. It is not easy to go against the king. And in this state, Governor Cuomo has behaved very much as a king.
All right, Dan, I have to change the subject real quick before we wrap it up here. The coronavirus stimulus bill, as I've warned everybody, I warned everyone after they passed the first one, they're never going to stop passing these things because it lets them just hand out money to their friends. And, of course, this new one has $270 million in arts and humanities endowments, $200 million for museums and libraries, $50 million in family planning funding. We all know where that goes. $112 million for the Bay Area Rapid Transit. Nan, as a doctor, please tell me how the Bay Area Rapid Transit helps us with coronavirus.
Well, I've been on the BART and it is a toilet, but that's not the point here. None of it is funny. This is what happens. Thank you, everybody, when you elect Democrats. But guess what? No more mean tweets. Now we just get incoherent announcements from the guy in the White House. Wonderful. No, this is awful. How do we resolve this situation? Open the economy. Put people back to work. America, here is the message on masks. If you, Mr. and Mrs. America, wear an N95 style mask sealed completely around your face so that all your breath goes into and out of the mask, nothing goes around, you will be basically protected. So with that in mind and good hand washing, let's everybody get back to work, get back to school, open up the economy, because if not, you are going to be subject. And if you think you're not paying this price, if Americans think somehow someone else is paying for this, we all pay for this. It is a disaster. Whenever you put Democrats in charge of the power of taxation, it is a disaster for the United States and for everyone in it, which is why everybody did better under President Trump. Everybody, the wealth gap decreased under President Trump, and for a reason. Policy.
Nan Hayworth, you're the best. Thank you, ma'am.
You. Thank you, sir.
All right. She's a doctor. I could have asked her about this, but I'm not going to. It's not exactly breaking news, but tobacco is not good for you. I'm not pointing my fingers at you. I would never do it. I had a snuff in my lip for years, and I loved it. I'm not going to even do that thing where I have, well, it was a dark time in my life. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But because I loved it so much, it's not easy for me to quit. I didn't want to quit. I don't care about all the warnings. I don't want to quit. You're going to have to do something to make quitting awfully easy for me if you're going to get me to quit. Well, that thing exists. It's called Jake's Mint Chew. Jake's Mint Chew is exactly what you think. It's all natural, no tobacco, no nicotine. You put it in your lip, 11 great flavors, and it's good for you. They even have, and I highly recommend this, they even have CBD pouches that work so well. This will help you quit. Go to jakesmintchew.com, jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse for 20% off. We'll be back. Well, do you remember the kids in cages, concentration camps thing? Well, it appears the Joe Biden policy is the exact same policy. And now, of course, they're complaining about these facilities being overrun. I can't imagine why they'd be overrun. Joining us to talk about that and other things is Ken Cuccinelli, former acting deputy secretary of the Department of Homeland Security and currently Heritage Foundation visiting fellow. Ken, boy, I'm shocked that they would be overwhelmed at the southern border, given all the campaign rhetoric out there.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, they've done this to themselves. We told them this was going to be the outcome, and they knew that. And I can only conclude this is the outcome they actually wanted. They are willing to live with a lot of this chaos to bring in hundreds of thousands and millions over the course of a term of this president. Of illegal immigrants. They view that as a political plus, even if it's a security, drug, human trafficking, and public health nightmare for the United States. They, you know, America last is the new deal here.
Ken, I get criticized a lot because I say the Democratic Party is now the anti-American party. I don't say they always were, but how am I supposed to conclude any different, Ken?
Well,
when you are willing for political purposes to flood your country with illegal immigrants, there's not, I don't know how I can say any different than that.
Yeah, we've gone from America first to America last. And, you know, it's, the evidence is overwhelming, and it's only been a month. You know, they haven't even gotten started, really. And keep in mind, Jesse, that, you know, in next week, we're going to be talking about their crazy election bill. And part of what they want to do in this bill is register these people to vote. Even though they're illegal, they're going to do it automatically under H.R. 1. And no penalties for them for going through that process. So don't separate this from the rest of their strategic plan. This is not an accident.
So it sounds like you're saying their plan, this plan that they've thought out, is to flood the country with illegal immigrants and then let them all vote in the election so they never lose another one. That is diabolical, but that sounds like what you're saying.
That sounds like the long-term plan, yes. Yep. And the video footage you're showing here of Guatemala, this is only a few weeks ago, that's at the border. Those are their Guatemalan security forces trying to hold back what? An invasion. That's what this is. It is an invasion. We're seeing the video of the invasion of Guatemala, and this invasion has continued its way on up to the United States, and they have been invited in by this administration illegally.
Ken, I am curious, given your high-level position at Homeland Security, I know you've had conversations with these people when they take over during the transition of power. What do they say back to you when you're telling them this is a disaster for the country? What is their explanation exactly?
In fact, they never wanted to meet with me, and so they did not. So those conversations did not take place.
Jeez. Okay, all right. All right, let's move on to other things here. Ken, the gun control thing. Please don't tell me this is part of the plan. I'm looking at this idiot Sheila Jackson Lee's plan, and this is awful. Is any of this stuff going to actually get through?
Well, you know, I have a hard time seeing any crazy gun control getting through the Senate as long as the filibuster stays in place. You know, you have Democrats from states like West Virginia, Arizona, Montana. We could keep going around the country where they know very well that their states are very strongly supportive of maintaining and protecting Second Amendment rights. So unless you have some massive defection of Republicans, I just don't see the crazy Second Amendment bills going through. I do worry about crazy immigration bills because Republicans have frequently helped out with some of the worst policy proposals that we've seen over the last decade.
Why? I get so frustrated with Republicans on this. Why are they so soft on immigration? Because you're 100% right. It drives me insane.
Yeah, I think the answer is straightforward. It's because they're paying more attention to big corporate donors, not all of them, but when you see that, that tends to be the motivation, that they view their constituency as big corporate donors who want to drive down the price of cheap labor. And let's talk about our poor people real quick. These illegals come in and at the same time, they're saying, we're not going to do worksite enforcement. So that is the main motivation for people to come here. And what happens at the bottom end of our economic scale? What happens to our American poor people? You have flooded their job market and you have depressed their wages and made it harder for them to get a job in the first place. At the end of 2019, one of the things President Trump had achieved was the lowest poverty level in recorded history. Recorded history, 10.4% poverty level. It isn't just that deregulation and lower taxes helped America's economy grow. It did. It was excellent. But cracking down on illegal immigration also shrunk, or at least didn't allow to grow artificially, the labor pool at the low end of the economic scale. So our poor people were benefiting tremendously under the policies of the last administration. And so one way to look at what Biden is doing is completely stiffing the poor people of the United States of America.
Okay, why can't Republicans, I understand there's dislike of Donald Trump out there. He's a strong personality, that's fine. I liked him, but I get people who don't. But why can't Republicans see that as a pathway for popularity and prosperity to crack down on? I get the allure of corporate dollars. I get it. I've run for office before. You got to raise money. But why can't you see, look, the juice ain't worth the squeeze?
Right. So if you just do it as a cost-benefit analysis for an already elected senior Republican, and note I say senior, they gradually actually begin to think that their constituency is their donors. It isn't that they're comparing one to the other. Those are the only people they're ever hearing from. Those are the only people they ever talk to are their donors. And so they view that as their constituency. So they begin to get this sort of inside the bubble conclusion. It reminds me of the joke about when Richard Nixon walloped McGovern in 1972 and the two White House press corps reporters, one said to the other, "I don't understand how Nixon won. Everybody I know voted for McGovern." Well, that's what you've got going on here. Everybody they talk to is for letting in all the illegal immigrants they possibly can.
Ken, I've always felt like there's a massive disconnect between the senior Republicans, as you pointed out, and the base. And I feel like it goes way beyond illegal immigration.
Well,
how do we bridge that gap? I know some solid conservatives who go to D.C. and they suck after like a year. What happens? Why does that happen?
Yeah, I think they put something in the water, maybe literally. But, the immigration, I would say, Jesse, there are other issues where there's a difference between the leadership and the base. Pro-life is one. They all campaign as pro-life, but they make very doggone sure that nothing gets to the floor that they have to actually vote on, you know? But immigration is the starkest difference of all issues between the Republican base and the Republican leadership. They have always been on another planet for 20, 30 years from the Republican base. And until the Republican base makes it an issue like taxes, guns, and life, that's going to continue. It really needs to be that level of an issue. And one interesting side effect for those Republicans of what Biden is doing is this is being driven explosively up the charts of the issues voters care about on the Republican side of the aisle. So Joe Biden is endangering those very Republicans because he's driving this issue to have the same level of relevance in a Republican primary as the Second Amendment, as life, as taxes.
Good. Good. We've seen it cost Republicans their seats before, as it should have. Ken Cuccinelli, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you.
Good to be with you.
Remember, we have an app. You can get me anytime you want, right here on your phone. And why wouldn't you want that to be all the time? Go to the App Store, get the app. Or you can go to thefirsttv.com/watch, get the app. You can see me, Bill O'Reilly, Buck Sexton, Dana Lash. You can see the whole lineup. Go, you can get me on demand, you can get me live. Congratulations to you. We'll be back. Well, I had to go on Tucker Carlson last night. I love going on that show. I love Tucker personally and professionally. And as you know, I owe you something. I owe you killing it every single time I go on TV, right? I mean, that's what I'm here to do, is make your day a little bit better. I'm not changing the world. I'm not leading some revolution, even though I hate communists, and I'm more than happy to do so. So I had a little bit on Tucker. And this group, Allegiance to Liberty, I want to make sure I give them credit, chose to take what I said and do some video editing. Enjoy. Ammo. They're going to go after all the things that you and I need. And look, a weapon without ammo doesn't do me any good. It's like handing Sheila Jackson Lee a book.
Snoop Dogg!
Sorry, we had to do some beeping for you there. All right, I hope you enjoyed. I know you did. I'll see you tomorrow.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.